If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living light and living love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is soul food, finding your source of spiritual nourishment. So let's take a deep breath and allow the living light and the living word of God to fill you. Feel it flowing down over your body and at the same time rising up from your innermost being. And the conjoining of your openness, your receptivity, and your evocation, your requesting of that greater light and that living word, when that is met by what is called the divine grace or the anointing of the divine spirit, that's what forms that overlapping of the uprising triangle and the descending triangle called the Mogen David, or the Star of David. But actually, that symbol goes way, way back to the Vedic tradition, when it is known as the sign of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is simply another word for the living word and the living light of the divine Christos, the Christ. That divine extension from eternity into time that we call Chaitanya, or the soul, or divine awareness itself. And you are not else but that. That is what you truly are, housed but temporarily in this vehicle that you call your physical body, in this very fleeting role play that is your present name, form, and personal definition. In truth, you are three people. You are the one that you think you are, your physical body, with its name and personality and characteristics. The one others think you are, your words and your personality and the things you do and say. And the one you truly are, which is the living light and the living word of God. Now, you are made in the image and likeness of God. God is not a man-like with a form. God is light itself. And God is the one that spoke everything into creation with a single word. God doesn't have a mouth and vocal cords. God is not a man. So how does God speak? God speaks as what has been called the primal word, or the pranava, or the om, or the hue. There are many, many, many hundreds of variations upon that wordless word, that soundless sound, that rings and sings as the truth within you, that is revealed as the divine spirit, prophetically stepping down that soundless sound into what you call your intelligence, your thought, your awareness, your consciousness, your sentiency as an individualized expression of the living light and the living word. Expand your awareness to embrace a bit of this, because everything goes back to the primordial light, the primordial word of God, the ringing, singing radiance, the Bhagavad Gita, that is to say, the song of God, ever singing and calling your name. It is that particular quality that often, as we sit and attune for these seminars, you find it appear as a purple light or a white light or a golden light in your third eye. That is how the living light sometimes appears to you. Sometimes it will be an eye or an opening like the eye of a camera, or like a wormhole tunnel. There is an opening in your inner consciousness that's called the tenth door, or the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, or the energy matrix we call the Christ, or the way, capital W, the radiant way. All of that implies an entering into a dimension of consciousness that's accessed through closing your eyes and taking a deep breath and writing your intention back into the center of your skull, where you connect with the living word of God. That living word begins to rock your body because it's a rhythmic cadence to which everything in creation responds and moves in perfect harmony. Everything is in divine flow and attunement. It is as if there was a divine piper, like the Pied Piper, playing on his flute such enchanting melodies that everyone leaves their home and begins to follow him. Or like Krishna, who symbolizes the divine beloved. And when he plays upon the flute, all of the cowherd maidens leave aside their milking and their tending of the cows, and they run to sit at his feet and to sway in harmony with the divine sound. The gopis, or the milk maidens, represent the souls that are drawn by the celestial sound of God. The flute represents the spinal column and the nine apertures of each human body. When the divine breath blows through you, making you a living soul, that divine sound begins to make room for your wholeness and your holiness to fully indwell your body. When that divine word of God, that living, singing, radiant melody of the divine breath begins to flow through your body, you become transformed into Radha. Radha represents unalloyed, pure, devotional absorption in the divine beloved, in this case, symbolized by Krishna. So Radha Krishna is every devotee's aspiration, every devotee's desire, because it is the perfect conjoining of our devotion, our evocative hunger and cry for the beloved, for the love of the beloved, met by the response of the beloved, coming and rushing to join as one with you. The whole of the mystic life, the spiritual life, is but this romance. Nothing, beloveds, else is going on here. And you will pine away in the depths of despair until you heed that haunting melody. Oh, you've known it. It's that aching, deep, deep down inside that you know not what. It is a hunger so gnawing, so intense, that it makes you restless. You don't know where to appease it. And so we try everything, everywhere, seeking to fill that hunger, to still that gnawing and that deep, aching longing. What is that aching longing? It is for the whole love of God, called the Holy Spirit, or the Living Word. It is that which the mystic knows as the very impetus and breath of his or her life. It becomes so all-absorbing that you literally forget yourself. You lose yourself and thus find yourself. You lose sight of the world as you open to the real divine God realms, birthed of the imperishable stars, the greater central sun worlds that know not the touch of death and degeneration. We are leaving the realms of dissolution and degeneration, of the Kalkali power, that which consumes the dross and burnishes and burns matter until that which is of the carbon has been compressed and burned and compressed through the ages of immersion in duality to emerge as a fiery diamond light body. That is what we have been doing. You are quite fine, beloveds. You can quit worrying about yourselves and trying to change and forget and fix and improve and better yourself. That's just like taking the furniture in your living room and rearranging its configuration. It does little to change anything. That's really not your job, to fix yourself. There is only one transformative agency in all of the cosmos, and that is love divine. So our only task here is to release all resistance to that love. Once we open our arms, our hearts, our lives, and our mouths in a big yes to God's love, the rest is already completed in grace. In time and space, as that love creates inlets, it permeates every cell of your being, transfiguring it into immortal light. And that living word that rings and sings the praises of God with every beat of your heart. And every area of your life is touched and brought to a divine sacrament that you as a soul minister as the high priest under the guidance of divine love. You minister through the temple of your life, the sacrament of divine communion. You speak this divine communion through your own state of mystical absorption in the divine light and the living word. I have often spoken of how to attune to the living word. I counsel that you sit and offer yourself as an open chalice and with an intention to simply be present and to fellowship with the beloved. You yield daily time for the infilling. You yield to the miraculous kiss of the beloved. You allow love to have its way with you. You surrender to it as you would to a lover, eagerly sought. And you lose yourself in the consummation of that love. I am speaking in mystical language, which is highly sensual, but nevertheless, it is a very apt description. As you sit quietly and listen intently to the sounds all around you, breathing very softly and gently, and just experiencing a flow of gratitude and loving that flows in and out of you with every breath, you go from outer noise, supplications and prayers, to an inner absorption where you're simply communing in the silence of your heart, which is so full of devotion and love that you no longer can speak. You are so deeply immersed in the fullness and the gratitude to the all that is with all that you are, that your oneness with God is simply that which is. It is just simply that which becomes what has been termed, what I have termed, non-localized awareness. As you sit in that silent place and listen to the outer sounds, gradually the consciousness begins to sit in the center of the head, and you begin to hear the living word of God within you, the sound current. If you listen very carefully, you will be able to hear more than one sound. There are different subtle nuances that seem to weave and dance and take all sorts of delightful cadences within you. That is the living word of God, your absolutely direct communication with the Holy Spirit. That is the true communion with the beloved. That sound current is what you are. You're an incarnation of the Word of God that spoke you into manifestation, extended you, if you will, through the time-space continuum, but in highest truth, you've never left the very heart, mind, and loving of God. But you extend into time and space the qualities of the divine spirit of living love, which we call the living word and the living light. But when it shows up, it manifests simply as the living love. That is your perfect divine spiritual nature. That is who you are. That is what you are eternally. You cannot add anything to it, for it is absolutely perfect, nor can anything be detracted from it. It is forever and eternally one with God and safe in God. So the part of you that identifies with your time-space capsule down here in the physical dimension runs lots of programs and interpretations that it buys into and identifies with, and that's called the false self or the ego projected sense of identity. That needs to fall away. And it falls away naturally of itself as you abstract your attention from it, as your focus is more upon communing with the beloved and listening to the divine melodies of the living word in the tabernacle of your own being. All else is taken care of. Everything else is taken care of. This is the name, the holy name of God, that renders to ashes mountains of karma, mountains of misidentified agendas that the mind-body complexes in this and a myriad of appearances in time-space has accrued. That is what it means to be saved by grace. As you worship God in spirit and in truth, you allow the living word and the living light of God to baptize and bathe and wash you and cleanse you. And that mystical vibration is called the atoning blood of Jesus the Christ. So even that which is called the blood and is thought of as the shed blood on Calvary has a spiritual quality to it that transcends the physicality of the shed blood of his physical body, because life is in the blood. And what is the life of God but the living light and the living word of living love and living truth itself? So the blood of Jesus Christ is not but that pure life of God poured forth in the ratification of your eternal divinity and at-one-ment with God. And that is the atonement, beloved. It is nothing you can't attain. It is that which is given to you by grace, simply because of who and what you are forever as part of God. As you go deeper into this awareness, the superstitions, belief systems, rituals, rites, incantations, supplications, and all efforting to make of yourself your own creation, all of that falls away. It just dissolves into the nothingness from which it has come to reveal that which has always been. It's so interesting, this whole effort in trying to become that which we could never not be has been called in the Eastern teachings Maya, or Mara, or the call, or Satan, or the false ego self. All of these things apply to that which is burst of pure, well, not even pure, it is burst of illusion. And because it is burst of illusion, it does not have eternal life. Can you see now why the atonement and the lifeblood of Jesus, of God as Jesus, manifesting as the Son of God? Can you see now how that is the perfection of the at-one-ment, the atonement, the restoration to your original wholeness and holiness? Do you see how that is? Do you see now how your efforting to be righteous in the sight of God is foolishness? You were made righteous by the atonement and by the washing of the blood and the living life and the living word and the living love of the absolute God manifesting as his own Son, the Christ. This is what we would call taking a multidimensional, deeper penetration into the mystery of atonement, salvation, the blood of Christ, and the divine union that we achieve when we simply allow all resistance to love to fall away. Now, to allow this to have its way, obviously, you're going to go in the area in which you have your focus when you're moving in a mind-body configuration through the third and fourth dimensions. In a physical body, you naturally have to eat. And to eat, you have to find a source of food. You have to get the food, prepare the food, and eat it. And you have to chew it and swallow it and digest it. And it's said that in the Iron Age, the age of Kali Yuga, the whole of the attention of most people is around procuring food. And yet, if you don't take that initiative to take that food and pick it up and put it in your mouth, you're not going to be fed. And what diligence we take in making sure that we eat every day, because we get hungry. But there's a spiritual hunger that is manifested as every single disease, malady, mental illness, addictive pattern, every single source of suffering on the planet today is due to one hunger that is not being met, and that is spiritual hunger. We literally shrivel up, dry up, and die prematurely in a form of energetic atrophy when we don't nourish ourselves spiritually. But it is your responsibility, it's our responsibility to feed and nourish ourselves spiritually. It's got to be a very conscious moving to that which feeds and builds and produces wholeness and holiness within our conscious awareness. That wholeness, that divinity that we are, is latent in every single corpuscle of our being, just like butter is latent in the cream. But to get the cream, you have to churn that milk, that cream, until eventually it forms the butter. And in the same analogy, we also need to exert an intention towards feeding ourselves spiritually. You know, a baby can find the source of its nourishment within seconds after it's born. It has an innate ability to sense where to find the breast and begin to drink the milk. And we are also born with an innate tendency to return our whole innermost being to our Creator. Even though we have never separated from our Creator, the very extension in time and space was interpreted by the mind as departure. So in undoing that sense of departure, in undoing that sense of alienation and separation, we need to nourish our wholeness, nourish our sense of holiness, nourish our sense of godly well-being. And it's left up to you what that's going to be. No more than we can prescribe the same diet for everyone on the planet, there is a plethora of things that will nourish us spiritually. But each person discerns what that is for themselves. I will tell you from my own experience and also from the Bible that we are nourished by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Again, what is that? The sound current, the living Word of God. A very, very simple way of attuning to that, which I share with just about every seminar, is to chant the Hue or the Ani Hue. Why? Well, for one thing, very few people know that. It's not conditioned by any religious belief system, even though it's inherent in the innermost teachings of all spiritual traditions. By and large, it's a neutral-sounding word, which doesn't bring up any resistance when you chant it. It just feels good. And you begin to sing it with loving devotion, not as a ritual, not like a parrot, just sing it as a love song to God. And when it comes to a natural point of cessation, which it will, focus inside the center of your head and just stay passively aware and observe. Sometimes you will see things inwardly, sometimes you won't. Be unconditioned in your expectation. Don't have any. Let God do what God does best. And you just stay out of the way. Just create some time. And when the attention starts to distract, go back to chanting again, the Hue. You can chant it audibly, and then you can take it into the silence and chant it in your mind, and alternate. You can chant it, Hue. Or you can chant it, H-U. You can Try all different things until you find what really works for you. And once you find something that works for you, you work it until you find something else that works perhaps even better. You can also use the Anahi Hue. You can also use Soham or Rama or Jesus. Any two-syllable words will work very well because they flow in cadence with your breath. Your breath and your mind are connected. You will notice when you're in a state of spiritual absorption, caught up into the higher consciousness, that you do not think. Your mind has been transcended, and there's just the peace of God. That is how you transcend bodily pain, bodily attachment, bodily fixation, bodily sensation, and mental gerbil cage chit-chat. You actually rise like a hot helium balloon right up through the center of your spine, up through the top of your head, and you park yourself in soul awareness. And all of that is accomplished by gently chanting the hue, and then listening, watching, and then gently chanting the hue. And just let it lead you on the inner journey, on the inner awareness. You don't go anywhere, you simply expand your conscious awareness of that which is. And as you learn to worship God in spirit and in truth, which is what you're doing, revelation begins to open your understanding supernaturally from within you. This is how you can become aware of whatever the Divine Spirit would have you be aware of. That's how you receive direct revelation of God's Word within you and the living scriptures of the living light directly within. This is where the Christ intercedes for you, where the Christ bridges your little willingness through to perfection and completion through His grace. That is why He is faithful, He who has begun a good work in you, to also complete it in perfection. God never leads you to what He will not lead you through and assure that you're crowned with victory. So it's interesting, this spiritual life. It is a journey without distance from the destination that we have never left. It is a journey in conscious awareness. It is a moving of the spiritual inner awareness to the recognition of your eternal wholeness or holiness as divine love. You are love itself. That is why whatever you do that is a loving expression in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, in your intentions, in the most passing thought, when that is dipped in the love of God, it feeds you and strengthens your spirit. Love is the true angel food and the only true religion is the religion of love. The word religion comes from the root that means to bind. It has the same meaning as yoga, which comes from the Sanskrit root yug, which means to be yoked to or bound to or in relationship with the divine. So the only true religion is the religion of love. And the highest form of yoga is, well, we could call it Kevalyam, which means complete merger and oneness with the beloved, but we could also call it Madhura Bhakti. Madhura is the devotion of supreme sweetness. It is the devotion that Radha, representing the pure devotee of the Lord, it's the devotion she had for Krishna, who represents the divine beloved. So that pure devotion, what is that in expression but simply a deep, unshakable faith in the Lord? I call it unconditional loving trust. When you truly, truly, truly love someone, I think it's impossible to truly love without also having trust. So love, when it's expressed toward God, is called bhakti or devotion. And a true devotee of the Lord leaves everything in the Lord's hands and diligently worships the Lord in spirit and in truth, drinking of the living light and meditation, imbibing and being nourished and fed by the living word, which again, it's where you transcend any form of mechanicalness, any form of superstition, any form of self-evaluating. And simply because you love God for no other reason, you sing to the Lord in your times of devotion. And yes, you can sing in the spirit, in the spiritual language. You can sing in the silence. There are often times when I absolutely cannot utter a word. I can't even breathe. The breath stops. Everything is stunned into silence when the presence is entered. The presence of God is wherever you are, but it's your devotion that makes the presence palpable and experiential. The name of the Lord and the presence of the Lord are one and the same. You cannot say the name of God without the form of God manifesting immediately in your aura. So as you practice the presence of God through singing His name, His names, there are so many names in each of the spiritual traditions on the planet. I've spent years and years and years learning the different bhajans and sacred chants and so many different traditions I've studied in worship. And again, it's a form of food that I have found very nourishing, and you need to find your own, whatever that would be for you. Just, you will know when you've found that food. You will know, because there is a settledness that you feel within you, a contentment. You know how you feel when you've not overeaten, but you've eaten something you've really enjoyed, and it's just enough, so you just feel perfect. Not too full, and no longer hungry, but satisfied. The sweet name of God satisfies you that way, when you speak it with all the love of your being. To prime that pump, I find two techniques work very well. One, sit down, take a deep breath, open your hands to the Lord, and begin to thank Him out loud for everything you can think of. Everything. Thank God for every single thing in your whole life. You will notice that as you express your gratitude, that your vibration begins to raise higher and higher and higher and higher, and your heart starts to open, and your personality, ego, concerns, and your petty little worries, and all of this stuff that we bring is so much garbage, falls away. It just kind of goes poof, dissolves in divine love. And you'll find your whole chakra system begins to open as you express your gratitude. That is the perfect time if you have received your prayer language and you can speak in the heavenly tongues, that is the perfect time to begin to worship God in tongues. Now, if you don't have that, you can ask to receive it. And Jesus is the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in spiritual language called tongues. So again, God will give you what you want. When you seek God with all your heart, God will fulfill the desires of your heart. But until your whole heart belongs to God, you will find that everything you try to fill that gnawing, that hunger with, but God, will leave you dissatisfied and at some point disenchanted and disappointed, because this life here is not designed to work for you without God, without Christ. We go to God through the Son, through Christ. That Christos is the divine connecting agency. That is the bridge, the intercessor, the energy of our divine loving willingness yielded in perfect relationship to the all that is. That is the bridge, the door, the energy matrix, the only way, the way of the heart of divine love by which we return to the highest imperishable divine God realms, which are within us and also without. We live and move and have our being in God. And we are in Christ, hidden in God. These are things that have deeper and deeper and deeper spiritual revelations attached to them. But as I've said before, God will never reveal His heart to you until you've given your heart to Him. It's the deepest and purest and holiest and most fulfilling romance and relationship you can ever have is with the Beloved. And every romance that we have, I think, in relationships and human levels is simply a training and a preparing for that ultimate relationship that all lesser relationships reflect. And that is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is actually reflected in the microcosm, to all of our human interactions with ourselves and others. Because all those faces and places and guises are simply mechanisms through which we see the face of the one divine beloved. We see the face of the Christ. The Christ of God is the love of God. So we see the love of God through every experience, ultimately. It is that sight that I wish to bless you with this evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I bless every one of you within the sound of my voice, wherever you are, that you may open your eyes and see, truly see, the face of love. I bless you that you may see it when you look in the mirror, that you may see it shining from your beautiful eyes, that you may feel it thrill, the thrill of it as it fills your heart and flows out your arms and hands and heals as you touch others. And through your words, as they become so sweet that they nourish the souls of others that you speak to. I bless you, my beloveds, that when your holy feet touch the ground, that wherever you place your feet, the kingdom of God is manifested. I bless every one of you that your homes may be havens, a safe harbor, that when people walk through the door, they just feel so much love. They just feel so safe. I pray that the devotion that is within you may bring transformation where you work, where you shop, where your children go to school, and every place you go, for you truly are an ambassador sent to earth to reveal the kingdom of love, to be the very embodiments and images of God's love on this earth today. You are the collective Messiah. You are the Holy Son of God. And with all the love of the Ashtar Command, all the love of the angelic hosts, all the love of my heart and Ashtar's heart, we wish you every blessing that your life stream is willing to open and receive now. And your holiness, beloved, blesses this world. Your holiness uplifts and is as a life raft to those who are drowning in ignorance and starving from unnecessary spiritual malnutrition. Be those that serve the living bread of God. Be the dispensers of the living water. Be the soothing words of God as you move about with your brothers and sisters, all souls destined to awaken safely in the heart of God. But meanwhile, many are suffering unnecessarily the nightmare of separation and fear. So let's send forth our love as we chant very sweetly and softly on I Hu. Deep breath. On I And you've been listening to the voice of the Astral Command. I am Commander Lady Athena, wishing you a blessed week.